So, first of all, I just want to say hi to UCI. I did my undergraduate degree there. Yeah. So, the title of this presentation is National Trends in Pediatric Use of Anticonvulsants, Indications and Usage. I want to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Julie Zito and Dr. Daniel Safer, as well as Sarah Hunley. And I just wanted to have these disclosures. I have no relationships to disclose. And for the off-label use, I do have to mention these six medications: divalproex, lamotrigine, carbamazepine, oxcarbazepine, gabapentin, and topiramate. And these are all collectively for the off-label indication of psychiatric use in children and adolescents. Okay, so some background. So the literature supports that anticonvulsant mood stabilizers have substantially increased in the past two decades. Now, these medications are traditionally used for seizure and anticonvulsant purposes, however, have found many other purposes in more recent decades, specifically psychiatric indications in their adult counterparts. And this is trickling into the pediatric population, as we've seen. Okay. Another trend that we've seen is that there's been this exact shift from the seizure indications to psychiatric indications in the previous decade. This is a substantial shift of basically the majority of anticonvulsants being used for seizure diagnosis to now psychiatric diagnosis. And currently, there is no updated data for recent anticonvulsant mood stabilizer trends. And that is our objective for this study, is to update those trends and to present them and analyze them. Okay, so our data is pulled from the survey database, the NAMSIS and NHAMSIS. That stands for the National Ambulatory Medical Care Survey and the National Hospital Ambulatory Medical Care Survey. These are both surveys that look at outpatient data. The NAMSIS looks at physician office visits, whereas the NHAMSIS looks at emergency department and outpatient department visits. Our study looks primarily at children and adolescents, so for those under the age of 18. Each visit is assigned a weighted value. Because this is a survey, we cannot pull everybody in the United States, so they're assigned an inflation rate, which we apply to the proportional U.S. population. Okay. So our primary independent variable is time. These 4-year pairs separated by 2 years. This covers a 14-year span. Our primary dependent variable is the rate of anticonvulsant mood stabilizer visits, which is a visit defined as containing an anticonvulsant mood stabilizer, in these 4 diagnostic categories. The first being a visit with a seizure diagnosis with no psychiatric diagnosis. Its counterpart, a visit with a psychiatric diagnosis with no seizure diagnosis, both diagnoses, and neither diagnosis. And our covariates include demographics such as age, gender, race, and ethnicity. Other dependent variables of interest are the specific anticonvulsants. Now, these are the 6 that I mentioned in my disclosure. These 6 anticonvulsants were chosen based on their history of use in psychiatric indications and as mood stabilizers. Psychiatric diagnoses: the first one is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, conduct disorder, and oppositional defiant disorder. This group is collectively referred to in our study as disruptive disorders. Second one, bipolar disorder, and depression, anxiety, and any other psychiatric diagnosis not fitting within the previous 3 mentioned. And we also look at the concomitant use of psychotropic classes. So a patient that may have a psychiatric indication on an anticonvulsant mood stabilizer may also be on some other type of psychotropic medication. So we looked at that. We looked specifically at the classes, not the independent drugs themselves, and we looked at antidepressants, antipsychotics, stimulants, and other psychotropic classes, which involved anxiolytics, lithium, and alpha agonists. So this table basically outlines the demographics of our population of interest, which is used outpatient visits with an anticonvulsant mood stabilizer. And we looked at the first and the last year groups. We looked at 1996-97 and 2008-09. And we compared the trends to see if there was any significant changes across the years. And here we looked at gender, age, and race, ethnicity. And what we found, I bolded what was statistically significant. We saw an increase in the male gender, a decrease in white, non-Hispanic, race, ethnicity, and a significant increase in other race, ethnicity, which involves Hispanic, Asian Americans, Asians, Pacific Islander, and Native American. All right. This figure is basically our primary dependent variable, and this shows all the four diagnostic categories. The first one I'd like to point out is the psychiatric diagnosis with no seizure diagnosis, or the red bars. This, as you can see, it increases from 96-97 to 04-05 steadily, however, drops significantly in 08-09. Coincidentally, the second category, the seizure diagnosis with no psychiatric diagnosis, which is the counterpart, decreases in the first 3 years but increases in the last year. Those two categories alone, we can look at them and say that the trend, although increasing and decreasing for the first 3 years, kind of trade places and start reversing. The third diagnostic category, where there is no neither a seizure nor a psychiatric diagnosis, although fluctuating through the years, the purple bars, it does represent a significant portion of the visits at around 20%. And the last category of both diagnoses stays steady at a very minimal rate. This table represents, so what we did here is we basically zoomed in on visits with a psychiatric diagnosis, regardless of whether they had a seizure diagnosis or not. So this is any visit that contained an anticonvulsant mood stabilizer and a psychiatric diagnosis. And same idea here. And we looked at the categories we looked at this table. The first one is the specific psychiatric indication that was associated with the visit, the specific anticonvulsant, the specific psychotropic class, and the number of psychotropic classes associated with that anticonvulsant, concomitant psychotropic classes. Okay? And we saw several statistically significant changes. The first one being that disruptive disorders, there was a huge increase in disruptive disorders, as you can see, from 24 to 62%. We also saw a huge drop by more than half of divalproex from 72 to 30%. And this drop is significant because divalproex constitutes more than 50% of these visits. At least 50% of these visits contain divalproex. So the drop of divalproex plays a huge part in the drop of the anticonvulsant mood stabilizer visits overall. Lamotrigine has had a huge increase from 4.3 to 40. Anticonvulsants with stimulants increased greatly from 17 to 54%, 55%. And in the bottom category, we look at concomitant psychotropics. We see that anticonvulsants alone, although it decreases, anticonvulsants with two or more psychotropic classes with it increases from 14 to 47%. So we see that now we're getting less visits with just an anticonvulsant, but way more visits with an anticonvulsant and two or more concomitant psychotropic classes. So a huge increase in multi-drug regimens for pediatric psychiatric patients. So a summary of our major findings here. One, there was that shift in the anticonvulsant mood stabilizer use from the seizure to psychiatric indication, which is a reversal of previous trends that we had acknowledged. A major decrease in the use of divalproex, major increase in lamotrigine, major increase in anticonvulsants in disruptive disorders, an increase in concomitant use of stimulants, and an increase in combination regimens or multi-drug regimens. And I want to point out points 4 and 5 are interesting because stimulants are the mainstay of treatment in disruptive disorders. And so they go hand in hand that they're both increasing with this anticonvulsant mood stabilizer visits rate. Okay. So none of these drugs have a psychiatric indication for the pediatric population. However, several of them have found FDA-approved indications in the adult population. but there have not been sufficient evidence to substantiate the approval for in terms of safety and efficacy for their approval in the pediatric population. Currently, the DSM-4, which we use to diagnose and treat psychiatric indications, does not have a specific category for pediatric patients, as it does not tailor itself to pediatric patients. The American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry does have guidelines for pediatric psychiatric indications and treatment, and in fact, for pediatric bipolar disorder, anticonvulsant mood stabilizers is mentioned as a treatment option in their guidelines. Divalproex, we think that the data shows that divalproex had a huge part to play in the decline of anticonvulsant mood stabilizer visit rates. And what can attribute to that is recent evidence that negatively support its safety and its efficacy. More so, its safety. There have been solid evidence to show that it has proven patotoxicity and teratogenicity in patients. And we're concerned with teratogenicity because that's in women of childbearing age. We have teenage girls using divalproex for their psychiatric indications, but could become pregnant. It's a known black box warning for divalproex, and so is hepatotoxicity. Children are much more susceptible to the hepatotoxicity black box indication than adults are in this medication. Also, reports of efficacy also say that other medications to treat psychiatric indications have shown a better effect size than divalproex, such as risperidone. And lamotrigine rose substantially in these 14 years. It was introduced in the late 90s, however, it was approved for the use of bipolar disorder in adults in about 2003, and that's when we saw the huge spike in the pediatric population. So with its adult indication, we saw a huge spike in the pediatric population almost immediately. And we also saw that huge increase in concomitant psychotropic use. So we are seeing much more of this large treatment regimens for children. Now we have to start asking ourselves, when we start adding medications, are we treating symptoms of the underlying disorder? Are we treating the multiple layers of drug complications that we are adding by adding more and more psychotropic medications? This study has some limitations that I want to mention. First of all, the survey structure itself. Again, these are just projections of the U.S. population, and although the National Center for Healthcare Statistics does an amazing job with NAMCIS and NHAMCIS, it is still just a projected analysis of total visits. But our main limitation here is prescribing practices. Although each visit allows us from 6 to 8 medications to be recorded as prescribed medications, we have no actual hard data to say that these patients are using these medications or getting them refilled or getting them filled in the first place. We just have records saying that they were prescribed the medication. The accuracy of diagnosis. Again, this is another controversial point of diagnosing the pediatric population with psychiatric conditions, especially at their developing ages, we are still refining those methods. And also, we only looked at outpatient data, such as NAMCIS and NHAMCIS only look at outpatient data, so we don't look at inpatient data, such as children being admitted to hospitals and institutions with psychiatric units, being started on therapy there and discharged, and later on seen. So we don't see that component of the data. So in conclusion, again, just to underline that, we did see that the anticonvulsant mood stabilizer visits increased from 96, 97 to 04, 05, which is what we saw in the previous 2 decades. However, in our last data point, in our last year group, we saw a substantial decrease. And we also see that growing trend of concomitant psychotropic use. And so further research is valid to say whether this trend is solid or not. We only have one data point, a change, an inflection of this trend. However, we need further and future researches to reinforce whether this trend is true or not. We also need to look and keep a wary eye on this growth in concomitant psychotropic use. All right. Thank you very much.